Why don't you turn with me to Romans chapter 5 this morning? Romans chapter 5. Actually, a very exciting place in Scripture to be today. Oftentimes, whenever we've got things going on that God's doing, women's retreats and different functions that are going on, there can always be these other things happening simultaneously. There can always be spiritual warfare of all sorts. Anytime we are setting aside time to get to be with God, whether it's coming here to gather on a Sunday morning, whatever it might be, anytime we're setting time aside to be with God, there's always, the enemy knows it. And when we set us, God will meet us there, but there's always the warfare associated with it, the distractions, the discouragements, the trials, the hassles, the different things, the infighting. All of a sudden, everything's fine, and all of a sudden, there's some explosion inside the house, you know? All of a sudden, you get all upset and angry about something dumb, you know? And just weird things that go on, you know? I used to watch this one person I know, the gal, as a believer, the husband was not. The gal was committed, and you know, obviously wanted her husband's attention and interest and care and stuff, but, you know, it was this demonic. All of a sudden, the husband decides that Sunday mornings is he takes his wife out to breakfast. Now, the wife wants to go to breakfast real badly, you know, and wants to get the attention and affirmation of her husband. And gradually starts to slip away from the Lord because she goes and does that instead. I wouldn't do it. Ladies, I commend each and every one of you that come on your own with your kids and stuff. I commend you. It's difficult, and I know that. But, man, we have to set our priorities. The Lord comes first. The Lord comes first, and then we move forward from there. Because God can fix all kinds of stuff that we can't fix. And we're going to talk about that this morning as we go through and kind of talk about the different struggles that we can experience, but man, the assurance that we can have of God. Let's begin in verse 1. Therefore, of chapter 5, Romans, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not that only, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who God has given us. This is a lot that's been said. We know that whenever there's a therefore, you got to figure out why it's there. It's there for something. And you want to usually backtrack. Well, everything that's been said up until this point, discussing our faith, our relationship with Jesus Christ, the access we have to God the Father by faith because of God's grace and His mercy, leads to that therefore. Because of all of these things that we've just stated and all that God's done for us, now we can say with confidence, you know, we've been justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus himself said, not the peace I give to you, not the peace of the world, but a peace that the world cannot even understand. It can't have it. The only way you can have this particular peace is by giving your life to Jesus Christ. There is no other way you can have this peace. Only Christians, born-again believers, have that particular type of peace. What a great thing to know. We'll talk about that a little bit further as we get into the study, the peace that we have with God. And we have that grace. We have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. We can stand before God the Father in that grace, because of the cross, because of the washing and cleansing of the blood of Jesus Christ in our hearts, we can stand before God. None of us can stand before God except in the person of Jesus Christ. I can't go by myself there. I have to go in Christ. Jesus can get me there. Jesus gives me the entrance or the access into His presence. And so I don't go by myself. I go in Jesus. Jesus can get me there. Oftentimes, you know, people say, well, I'm praying, but praying to whom? And praying in what way? You know, who are we talking to? You know, when we pray, the Bible says we're to pray in Jesus' name to the Father. We're talking to God, and we have access through Jesus Christ. We've talked about this, the importance and the significance of this. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We have all of those things, the peace of God. We have, because of the faith, we've been justified. We're washed and cleansed, forgiven of all our sin. We have access by this grace to be in the presence of the Father. All of those things are ours in the person of Jesus Christ. And we rejoice in that hope, that glory of God that's ours. We rejoice. We're excited about the hope that we have. This isn't all there is. Thank God for that. I mean, I flicked on the news this morning, early this morning. And I mean, it's just, man, and shooting after shooting after shooting after shooting. Homicide after homicide, situation after situation, it's just exploding. And this is just our area, the Kansas City metropolitan area. You know, I'm just like, wow, man. You know, you go throughout the world in the course of the night hours, through the course of the night hours, and chase them around the world and the things that happen throughout our globe and the destruction. And yet, God has given us this access to Him, this hope past just this world. And that's the glory of God that we have, the hope. Man, sometimes life can be very difficult, and hope keeps us hanging on, that there's something more past today. Some of you are facing very serious struggles, and I know that. Some of you are rejoicing, and I'm excited. I rejoice with you. But I know the trials and the tribulations, God's got a purpose and a plan in that, and we're going to talk about that as we get a little bit further into it this morning. But he says we rejoice in that hope of the glory of God. Man, I'm excited about it. But look at what it says in the first part of verse 3. And not that only. Not just the hope of tomorrow. The hope of the glory that once this life is over, that I get to go and be in the presence of God. I'm elated about that thought. I tell you many times how excited I am to stand next to you and take our crowns off together and just throw them in the presence of the Lord as frisbees to God. Just honoring Jesus Christ, man, you did it all. Man, I live for that day. I can't wait for that day. And I want to take as many people with me to stand along together and to throw our crowns at Jesus and give Him the glory that is due Him. I live for this. I think about this all the time. Whenever I talk with somebody, I'm just thinking about I want them to come to know Jesus. I want them to stand with us. Not just with me, with us. I want them to stand with us. It's exciting. That's the hope that's out there in Jesus Christ. That this isn't all there is. No matter what's happened, this isn't all there is. But listen, he goes on and says, and not that thought only. Not just that. Not just that thought, but we also glory in tribulations. Man, that is a mouthful right there. And not that only, but we also glory in tribulations. That is not always what happens, is it? If we were to be really honest with ourselves, that's not always what happens. Usually, we get our little 5-gallon bucket and we go sit down on it somewhere and we start, you know, pining away and wondering, and we have usually a why me's gathering. You know, where, why me, why me, what happened, what did I do, you know, why did I do this, oh my goodness, you know. And this is Christians. We have hope, and yet we still get into the why me's and the job site bucket, and we sit there and carry on and try and figure out, you know, what did we do to deserve this? And, you know, gosh, everything was going good, and I ran out of gas. Well, at least you didn't run out of food on your table. It could be a lot worse, I assure you. Running out of gas is inconvenient, yes. But it's not always the biggest disaster in life. The thought is perspective changes everything. This idea here of rejoice and to have, you know, we also glory in tribulations. You know, that there is something that happens in a tribulation time or in turbulent times. This is not speaking of the Great Tribulation. This is speaking of turbulent times, times of trial, times of discouragement, times that at any age can hit us And we wonder, why am I going through this, God? I'm trying to fly right. I want to do right, and yet I'm going through this intense struggle, this intense discouragement. Why? One, let's go back into our Bibles and think about Job just for a moment. One thing that happened with Job, and I know we can think about the trials and the awful things that happened, but one thing, prior to that happening, everything's going great. He's a servant of God. He loves God. He knows God. Everything's going pretty, actually, God's blessing him. It's going great. Satan comes before God, in the presence of God, and starts to say, hey, you know, the only reason, he basically uses the term that I've been observing your servant, Job. And the only reason he really hangs with you, I'm paraphrasing, obviously, the only reason he hangs with you is because you bless him. If you took away the blessings out of his life, surely he would curse you. So, God says, have at him, except not his life. His life, you can have at him, basically. So, literally, all hell starts to break loose. You know, he's sitting there, you know, hanging around, you know, doing some paperwork, and his cell phone rings, you know? And next thing you know, that couldn't happen to Job, could it? But anyhow, the idea is that situation after situation start popping and happening. You know, his kids get killed, the house crumbles, the crops burn, all kinds of just crazy mayhem, just craziness happens. All in just a matter of a few moments, you know? And his wife, you know, and ultimately he's broke out with sores all over his body. He's sitting in an ash pile just because it's soft enough to sit in. And his wife just, oh, would you just curse God and die? You know, now we think that's not very cool, but really it's probably a pretty compassionate thing, man. She probably sees him suffering like that. Just curse God and die. Put this over with, you know. You know, his thought is, though he slay me, even if that's God's choice, do you think that way, really? We come always wanting blessing from God and don't accept that God is really the potter. We're not in charge of all of our life that we think we are. And the difficult times that happen, God wants to do something through those difficult times, through those ailments, through those deaths, through those circumstances in this life. God's wanting to do something. I find that in trial, in struggle, in that difficulty relationship-wise, press through it in the Lord. Hang in there. If you're married, stay married. That's what the Bible says. Don't look for the quickest trip out. That's not what the Bible teaches. Stay in it with the Lord. Let God have his way. Man, the Bible's clear on this. And it's difficult, and it's a trial, and it's a struggle. It is tribulation in that sense. But God's wanting to work something into your life, into my life, in those times. You see, because as we go on, he says, that turbulent time is going to produce an endurance, a perseverance. It's going to produce something in your life that would not be there any other way. That trial, that struggle, God will use it to work something into your life. I heard this thing said about this, that God puts us in a fix. He allows it to happen. He allows the fix to happen, just like he did with you. He allows the fix to happen that he might fix us. He's wanting to fix something in me, in you, in those times. In other words, he's wanting to do something. I find that when I go through these times, that I end up drawing closer to the Lord than I ever could any other way. I find that those times of stretching and of trial and of struggle, deep, deep struggle, I find that God uses those times to draw me closer, and I understand or I identify with my friend Jesus so much more intimately than I ever could if I was living in Candyland and everything was just right and we were on the good ship Lollipop and everything's going good and it's all ice cream sundaes and hot fudge syrup and everything's just great, you know? Not just squirt whipped cream. Somebody really made whipped cream that you're squirting out of your tube. You know, I mean, it's just great, you know. But that's not really the way we all live. There's issues. I didn't ask for my dad when I was 15 years old to, you know, just decide, hey, you know, I'm just going to leave, you know? Okay, great. So I guess mom and I will be here at the house, you know? I mean, you don't ask for those things when you're a young person to happen to you. You don't request that. You don't turn that in as your, you know, slip that you want. Oh, God, please give me that, you know? But God works something in those times, those difficult struggles. God will work something in our lives that could never happen any other way. He wants to fix something in there. You know, there are many of your friends and my friends that start to go through very difficult times. Very difficult times. And they don't know Jesus. They don't have the hope that you have. But God can use that circumstance for His glory and as an opportunity for you to help point them to Jesus. You see, when you are in a struggle and people watch and observe how you deal with that, it speaks volumes as you persevere. And this is the way it's built in. God's doing something in and through that circumstance. What do we spend most of our life doing? And this is the truth, and especially all around us here. We spend most of our time going for an insulation. We want to insulate ourselves from problems, from struggles. Now, granted, believe me, please, do not misunderstand this. I'm not looking for more than I got. Whatever God gives to me is what I deal with, you know, what I accept. I don't think we're supposed to go look and create more problems. I do what I can, just as many of you would, try to do things that would lessen struggle and issue. I understand that. But there's some things that are outside of our scope. And when it comes our way, we need to embrace it in the Lord. See, we can glory in the tribulation, in the time of struggle, in the time of trial, because we can know that God is doing something in that time. What is it that we talked about, just get started, that He's doing? That tribulation produces endurance or perseverance. Even though we're in the midst of that struggle, that hard time, there can be this good stuff that's happening. We can be built up, and people observe that endurance, that time of perseverance. They're observing, they're watching. Are you sticking with the Lord? And if you're sticking with the Lord, this is an amazing concept. They're riding this storm out. They've still got hope. Even in the tribulation, they got hope because God's doing something. We throw in the towel so quickly in our hearts. Well, I don't know what's going on. This is just, it's just awful. You know, we just freak out. Instead, you say, you know what, Lord, I'm not sure what's going on here. Not sure what's happening. You've got a purpose and a plan. Your word tells me that. All things work together for good for those who love God and are the called according to His purpose. I don't know what it is, what good it is that you're going to work through this, but I can trust you with it. And we're going to talk about trust. We're going to talk about why we can trust in just a moment. That perseverance that's ours, that endurance. Are you in really, the Christian experience for most of us is not the sprint, is it? It's not the sprint. It's more of a marathon, isn't it? Really. It's a long haul, and we don't know what's ahead of us. You know, when you're really going through a physical ailment, you know, that struggle, that suffering that you can experience can carry on, and each day can seem like 10 or 12 or 15 days, you know, just because those 12 hours that you're awake, 14 hours, 16 hours you're awake are so painful, you know, and so discouraging. That happens with people emotionally. I know that. This is why we need to fix our eyes on the person of Jesus Christ. Run the race of endurance that's set before us. It's a long haul. That trial that you're facing today, that struggle you're facing today, that issue that's plaguing you today, that ailment, that thing that you're dealing with today can be something that builds up your endurance. You don't jump out and start running 26 miles. Because after the first one, you're off on the curb, barfing your guts out, and laying there writhing in pain, wondering, make somebody, you know, get this over with for me. So you don't start out running, you see? You build up to that. How do you build up to that? How do you build up to that? Through a planned, thing of events, situations, that I can build up and get gain endurance. In other words, these experiences that we have that happen to us in the Christian, in the spiritual realm, are building that up for you. And we want to embrace that for me. Then we go on and we see not only is that perseverance ours, but it also develops the character. Or the character and the experience. It develops the person, the spiritual man within you, the person that you are in the Lord. It begins to develop that in your life. And you begin to have a lot more compassion for somebody who's struggling, somebody who's going through a financial upheaval. Maybe you've always been good with money. Good for you. Maybe God will make you aware what it's like to not have anything go wrong except for bad decision. It's only one bad decision that can really mess you up economically a lot of the times. And it doesn't matter how much money you have. You could invest in something and one bad decision, you know, and things can just go haywire. This happens all the time. Now, that person could be most real successful businessmen, most especially multimillionaires, and especially if they're a little bit older. Most of them that you talk to will tell you they've at least lost everything once. I know this is worldly, but this is the truth. Most of them will tell you they've lost everything at least once, and sometimes over and over again. Now, maybe it's risk-taking that would be unwise that they need to think through. I can't answer all of those questions. But the reality is that, man, it develops and it helps to produce a character and experience in our lives. That we learn to lean on God, trust God. Let's shift this over into the Christian experience. I go through the trial. I know that it's developing something that I can trust in. The biggest mistake I can do is try and hop out of the trial on my own. Because when I hop out of the trial on my own, what God was wanting to work in didn't happen. So now what's going to happen? Whoop! Back to it again. Another situation, another event, very similar. We're going to work that same thing in there. Why? Because God loves me. Because He's the one that's in charge of my life and I'm not. Because He's the master, He's the potter. I'm the, you are, we are, what? If He's the potter, what are we? Clay. Now, does the clay say, hey, I really want to be... Does the clay do that? I don't know. I have a friend that's a potter. And I love to watch him spin the wheel and make stuff and everything. You know, he wouldn't even let me do it. It was like Tom Sawyer. I kept watching and watching, but I never got the chance to paint. But anyhow, I'd watch him do this and make stuff. And I think, man, it turns out so cool. But I have actually tried before. He was out of town. I went into his garage. I got to make sure he's not getting these CDs. Anyway, he's not, so it's okay. But the idea is that you can't, the potter has control of the clay. And he makes it what he wants to make it. Now, what's good is God wants to make us. He wants to make us that vessel of honor, as spoken of in Timothy. He wants you to be that. He wants that for your life. That gives Him honor and glory. He wants to do that with you. He wants you to be something that represents Him. But He knows how to make you that. He knows sometimes, ooh, that's not working out. Back to the ball of clay. Start over. Bam! Right on the table. Boom, start, you know, pushing the fingers in and getting the, you know, pinching it, making it, you know, all the stuff that goes on to shape and mold our lives. I know it's not easy. I've cried with many of you over issues and circumstances. It's difficult. I know. We go through it. I go through it. Our family goes through it. It's very real. But the thing is God's wanting to do something through that. If I try and escape it, if I try and take the shortcut out of it, if I don't go through what God wants me to go through, if I'm not learning what He's wanting to teach me in it, I'm going to be back through it again and again and again. This is the growth process. The trials keep coming, but they change. And we want to look in all of our lives. If you're looking, is there fruit dangling off? That's because of His presence in your life. It's because you've been through this and you let him have his way. I believe this is part of the production of the Christian experience. I've seen more people come to the Lord, at least in my personal Christian experience, in the midst of all kinds of crazy things going on in my life. And yet, opportunity after opportunity. Why? Because we're speaking. When we're in that spot, we're identifying. You're getting this actually, this word, tribulation, in the Greek means crushings. That's what it means. And it means basically like what happens with a grape or the olive, just crushed to get the oil or to get the juice out of it. The crushings that go on in our lives. But God's wanting to produce something good in you and I, and we want to let him have his way. Once we have that character developed and that experience that happens through perseverance and endurance, the next thing that we have is hope. Hope that God is, during this trial, doing something good. We already know that we rejoice in hope of the glory of God, that ultimate destination. But this hope that it's talking about is associated with the tribulations. It's at the end of this situation here, and he's saying, through all of this, there's this hope right there. And what is that hope? That hope is that God is at work doing something good in and through whatever the circumstance is. And how can I have that hope? Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. God's given us his Holy Spirit, that Spirit that dwells within us, his Spirit that dwells within us. We're not disappointed because the hope of God is there in our lives. I know. And the Spirit bears witness that I can trust God in the midst of that trial, in the midst of that discouragement. I know I can trust God. How do I know that I can trust God? Stay with me, brothers and sisters. We just got a few more verses this morning. Stay with me. This is so important. God's wanting to speak something to you. You might be, and your neighbor might be, and the person sitting around you, and someone you talk to afterwards, someone later on this week, and it might be you. My phone rings, and tragic things happen. Yours rings, and tragic things happen. We need to be alert. What is God wanting to do? You could be making a couple hundred thousand bucks a year at your job. Good for you. God bless you. And you could have a highfalutin, awesome expense report, all kinds of good things going. I have a buddy that just told me about the company that he works for out in LA. Just a small portion of it burnt. But it was a real important portion of it because they dealt with chemicals. Now, the fire department shows up. They hose everything down. And it just, tons of water goes out. Now, this splashes out into the LA River. Now, you've got every agency known to man, believe me, in California in particular. You got every agency known to man that's on site. Likely, the whole thing will probably, you know, it would probably bankrupt this. I mean, it just likely could. How's that? I mean, that's just in my sense of it. That was one incident in one situation, and there's a lot of people tied to that working. What's your hope in today? That job? Gosh, I hope not. You see, what's your hope in? What am I fixing my hope upon? What am I really trusting in? That no matter what happens, God is in control. Hope does not disappoint. If we're trusting in God, how can we be sure of that? How can I be sure? How can you be sure? How can we be sure that God is going to do something good in the midst of that? How can I even be sure? Sometimes, don't you question? If God loved me, why would he let me be married to such an idiot? Why? How can this be? If God really loved me, how would he let that tragic event occur in my life that's caused such grief and angst? If God really loved me, he wouldn't have done this or allowed that. Oh, these verses take courage. This is lifetime stuff for us. This is stuff that if we get this, man, it'll change our lives forever. The rest of our lives will be so much better, so much healthier in our Christian experience. For when we were still without strength, In due time, in verse 6, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. You know, for a good cause, for a good purpose. Ward was telling me about the, you know, thing that they're, a statue thing they're, or a memorial thing they're putting up at their old precinct down in the 77th District. And they're putting this thing up and, you know, they're going to have names of a bunch of the officers and stuff on it. And he was telling me about his thoughts regarding that and how, you know, he's got friends, you know, that were killed. And, you know, he thinks it's good. But his main thought that he shared with me was that for the young cops that come on the scene, and they're excited and they're zealous, but there's a sobriety to it that you walk past that. You see that memorial every day. These are people that gave their life for this cause. You see? And it's a sobering thought that, man, I've got to be vigilant about my life. Maybe God will use that for good things. Because, you know, especially when you're young, you feel pretty invincible. But for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. That's the thought, you know, that someone for an honorable purpose, you see what I'm saying, is going to give their life. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. Perhaps. A righteous good cause. Maybe for a good cause. Maybe. Good person, good cause. Righteous person, right? Maybe. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. And not that only, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. We've been reconciled. We've been made right with God. Once at war with God. Once at odds with God. Once against the things of God. By nature, we're rebelling against God. And now God says, no, you can have relationship with me through my Son, Jesus Christ. This idea of the wondering that goes on in our minds about how can a loving God allow this? How can a loving God, how can this, how can that? Go back through this, because while you were, when I was, when we were enemies of God, against God by nature, because we were born in sin, which we've been discussing for the last four chapters. When we were in that state of being, God loved us. God loves people. For God so loved the world. Not just the beautiful people, not just the people that live in nice houses, but God so loved the world. Everyone. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He did this while we were yet sinners, dead in our sin. We're still sinners, but we're saved by his grace now. But he did this while we were at war or in enmity against him. When we were rebelling against him, he loved you. He loved me. He demonstrates that perfect love, unconditional love for you and for me. Now you're his child. You've been born again. You're a Christian. You're following the Lord, and you're going through a trial. You're going through a terrible circumstance. And it's easy to go into that mode. God, why? Why me? Don't you love me, God? Jim, you know I love you. I've proved my love to you through my Son, Jim. Remember when you were living your life for you? And you were against the things that I stand for? Do you remember that, Jim? Yes. I loved you then, and I gave my Son Jesus because I love you. And you know what? Right now, with this struggle, with this situation, with this turbulent time, with this trial, with this deep grief, you know I'm there right with you. And I love you. And I'm allowing this because I want to do good things in and through it in your life. That's awesome. We never need you. Never need to doubt God's love for you, no matter what's happening. Because the furthest distance, when you were at the strip club, gentlemen,
When you were at the strip club, God loved you. When you were having sex, men and women, with somebody other than your spouse, God was loving you. When you were getting stoned, rebelling against God, God was loving you. When you were drinking into oblivion, God was loving you. And now, as a child of God, God still loves you. And he allows that circumstance, that situation, because he loves you. And he wants to do these things that only that circumstance can produce in your life. God will use it. Let him use it. I just listed circumstances that could be applicable. Unfortunately, for some of us, many of those circumstances could be applicable all at once, unfortunately. But aside from that, grab a hold of any of it. You say, well, I've been a Christian most of my life. God bless you. That's awesome. But you, apart from Jesus Christ, are still dead in your sin. You were born into it. You see, we're reborn into Christianity. We're not natural birth into Christianity. We are spirit born into Christianity. Born again, as it were. Once this life, physical. Born again, spiritual. Powerful truth to embrace. If you can go away with that today, man, you will be wealthy believers. Wealthy believers. Because no matter what comes your way then, your dependency will be on God. I would encourage for extra credit reading that you read 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You might grab a hold of the reconciliation that's been entrusted to you. This is extra credit reading on your own, but 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And when you think of suffering and you think of the struggles for extra credit reading, you can read 2 Corinthians chapter 11. So for trials, tribulation, this type of stuff, I encourage you to read 2 Corinthians chapter 11. You'll be very encouraged to see what Paul went through. It'll put your stuff into perspective. And then when you want to learn more about reconciliation, read 2 Corinthians chapter 5.